This is the Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 16th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
This is from Eugene Peterson's translation of the Gospel called The Message. Jesus said, "I've told you these things to prepare you for rough times ahead. They're going to throw you out of the meeting places. There will even come a time when anyone who kills you will think he's doing God a favor. They will do these things because they never really understood the Father. I've told you these things so when that time comes and they start in on you, you'll be well warned and ready for them. I didn't tell you this earlier because I was with you every day, but now I'm on my way to the one who sent me. Not one of you has asked, 'Where are you going?' Instead, the longer I've talked, the sadder you've become. So let me say it again, this truth, it's better for you that I leave. If I don't leave, the friend won't come, but if I go, I'll send him to you. When he comes, he'll expose the error of the godless world's view of sin, righteousness, and judgment. He'll show them that their refusal to believe in me is their basic sin. That righteousness comes from above, where I am with the Father, out of their sight and control. That judgment takes place as the ruler of this godless world is brought to trial and convicted. I still have many things to tell you, but can't handle them now. But when the friend comes, the Spirit of the truth, he will take you by the hand and guide you into all the truth there is. He won't draw attention to himself. He will make sense out of what has happened and indeed out of all that I have done and said. He will honor me. He will take from me and deliver it to you. Everything the Father has is also mine. That is why I've said, he takes from me and delivers to you. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a saying, half a loaf is better than none. We hear it all the time in politics. If one party can't force through a piece of legislation, they compromise. They can't get the whole loaf, they compromise, and they take what they can get. And then the party leaders tell their constituents, you know, everything you want isn't in there, but there's some of what you want in there, so let's settle. Take half a loaf. Half a loaf is better than none. Now that half a loaf mentality may be exactly right for politics, but I'm going to suggest to you that it is exactly wrong for the church and for the people of God. Indeed, over the next 3 weeks, I'm going to urge you, don't settle. Don't settle for half a loaf. In preparing for this week's sermon, I was kind of disappointed to see where the lectionary was taking us. We had this celebration of Pentecost Sunday last week. And after only 1 week, the lectionary swerves in this completely different direction. You know, we don't get a chance to sort of relish in this story of the birth of the church and of the power of the Holy Spirit. And so I'm going to suggest that we sort of take a break from the lectionary for the next 3 weeks and just kind of rest in these scriptures about the power of the Holy Spirit. Because as the church, I don't want us to settle blindly for following the lectionary when there's a compelling reason not to do so. Pentecost is all about the Holy Spirit. And I've come to believe that Mountain of Faith right now is desperate for an infusion of the Holy Spirit. So over the next 3 weeks, I want to preach and teach about this, what's been called the most neglected person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. And I want us to pay special attention to the role the Holy Spirit has in Jesus' mission, especially his mission as it's defined as prophet, priest, and king. And I have to say that my inspiration for this series comes from two sources. First one is just kind of the prompting that the Holy Spirit has been giving me towards coming to grips with this idea of the difference between I go to church and I am the church. There's a difference between that, a really big difference. And I feel like the Spirit has been drawing my attention to that, especially about how that's playing out here at Mountain of Faith. And then the second inspiration came from a talk that I heard another pastor give. His name's J.R. Vassar, and he's a pastor of Apostles Church in New York City. And he did this incredible job, best job I ever saw, of researching the role of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' mission as prophet, priest, and king. And it really caused me to kind of clarify my own thinking about this. And actually, my whole thinking about the whole new covenant that God has with His people after Pentecost. And so this has huge implications for the mission of the church. In other words, this is big stuff. Really big stuff. And it's all about how God has chosen to relate to His people after the life and ministry and death and resurrection and ascension of Jesus. It has everything to do with the way we live our lives as God's people. It has everything to do with the way we live our lives as the church. And it's a scandal that we in the mainline church haven't done a better job of embracing and of asking for the Holy Spirit's help as to how we live out our lives as the people of God. So over these next 3 weeks, I'm going to ask you to don't settle. Don't settle for half a loaf. Don't settle for half a loaf when it comes to being a child of God. Don't settle for half a loaf when it comes to what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And maybe most important of all, don't settle for half a loaf when it comes to settling for a mediocre church life that's based on a few hands and a few natural abilities when there's so much more that's available to us when we allow and ask the Holy Spirit to be part of what we're doing. I've said that without the Holy Spirit, kingdom work disappears. And all we're left with is church work. Today I'm going to take that a step further. And I'm going to say that without the Holy Spirit, we simply don't have a church. I think we begin to see this when we see the vital role that the Holy Spirit played in Jesus' mission as prophet, priest, and king. And if we're not somehow trying to tap into that, you may have heard of Jesus' threefold ministry in the world, that of prophetic ministry, priestly ministry, and kingly ministry. You might wonder, what's that mean exactly? What's all that look like? And what was the Holy Spirit's role in each part of that ministry? What does Scripture tell us about that? And that's where I'm really indebted to J.R. Vassar for his work on this. So I want to consider for a minute Jesus' prophetic ministry. And I think it's important at this point to remember that when we talk about God's prophets, we're not talking just about someone who can predict the future. Now, God's prophets, because they speak for God and God knows what's coming, sometimes do that. But that's not their primary role. Their primary role is to be spokespersons for God. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, they speak God's word to the people and to the powers that be. And guess what happens? People and the powers that be, being what they are, sometimes they don't want to hear it. The so-called people of God have a pretty dismal track record when it comes to how they treat the prophets that God sends to them. Scripture makes it very clear that both the people to whom Jesus ministered and Jesus himself considered Jesus a prophet. You know, when Jesus was rejected by his hometown of Nazareth, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 13, only in his hometown and in his own house is a prophet without honor. Jesus knew he was a prophet. When Jesus was teaching in the temple and telling parables about the Pharisees, they wanted to arrest him right then, but they were afraid to because of what? Because they knew the crowds considered Jesus a prophet. The woman at the well identified Jesus as a prophet. The villagers in the village of Nain, after Jesus raised the widow's son from the dead, declared Jesus a prophet. And Jesus never corrected them. He never denied that he was a prophet. Jesus is talking about himself when he says he must continue to go to Jerusalem because surely no prophet can die outside of Jerusalem. These are just a few of the references to Jesus as prophet. We know that was an important part of his ministry. There are a lot more references. There's just no doubt that a huge part of Jesus' ministry was to reveal God's word, prophetic word, to the people. And neither is there any doubt whatsoever that the Holy Spirit was instrumental in getting that done. John the Baptist was talking about Jesus very early in John's Gospel, where he says, "For he, Jesus, is sent by God." He speaks God's word. In other words, he's a prophet. And then John goes on to say, "For God's Spirit is upon him without measure or limit. The Father loves the Son and has given him authority over everything. The Father loves the Son so much that he gives his Spirit without measure. It's limitless." So that Jesus could complete that prophetic part of his mission. You know, I got to say, it kind of takes one to know one. John the Baptist ought to know something about prophets. He was a prophet. The first prophet in Israel after hundreds of years. And his job was to announce the coming of Jesus. That's a pretty good reference. But you know, we don't have to rely on third-party testimonials when it comes to identifying Jesus as a prophet. We have Jesus' own words. When he's beginning his ministry in the Gospel of Luke, when he's just coming into Galilee after he's been baptized, Luke chapter 4, we read this. It says, "Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread through all the surrounding country." He didn't even go to Galilee until he was filled with the Spirit. And then when he got there, the first recorded sermon that he ever gave is in his hometown of Nazareth. And Luke writes this about that. He says, "Jesus went into the synagogue and opened the scroll and pointed." He looked for a passage to read to those people. And here's what he came up with. God giving a Bible lesson. And he goes to this part of the Bible and he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to bring good news to the poor." And then he sits down and he says, "Today that scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Brothers and sisters in Christ, it's no coincidence that the very first sermon about which we have any detail at all talks about both Jesus' prophetic ministry as a preacher of the word and the fact that the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. It's the only thing that allowed him to do that. Because the Spirit of the Lord was on Jesus, he was empowered to preach good news to the poor and recovery of sight to the blind. And he makes the audacious claim that he is the fulfillment of Isaiah 61. It blows your mind when you think about it. John the Baptist recognized Jesus as a prophet. Jesus himself recognizes himself as a prophet. He doesn't settle for trying to do prophetic ministry using his own skills and abilities. Jesus trusts in God and has God's Spirit within him to get that job done. And we remember that when the resurrected Jesus showed up in the locked room with the apostles, he gives them a mission to do. He says, as God sent me, so I send you. And then he breathes on them and he gives them the Holy Spirit. So they had the same tools Jesus had to do his mission. If Jesus relied on the Holy Spirit, if those first apostles relied on the Holy Spirit, if the church in Acts, from our second lesson today, relied on the Holy Spirit, why is it that we in the mainline church feel like that we can do mission by only giving lip service to the work of the Holy Spirit? I don't know the answer to that question, but I know it doesn't work. One of the things that's just incredible to me is that here we had Jesus on earth among people, Emmanuel, God with us, and he tells his followers that it's better if he leaves. How can that be? What could be better than having God walking on the earth with his people? I'll tell you what, it's having God's Spirit. And Jesus says that, if I don't go, then the Spirit won't come. Having God with us at a particular place, at a particular time, was a huge blessing to the world. Jesus did for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. He reconciled us to God. But he knew that in the long run, it was better for the kingdom if he would leave a particular place and time and fix it so that the Spirit could come and the Spirit could be everywhere, could be indwelling in all the people that followed him. After Pentecost, this last piece of this new covenant puzzle falls into place. God provides a way to go from just having God among us at a particular place and time to God with us all the time, and it's through his Holy Spirit. I think the evidence that we are God's people doing kingdom work is that we have God's Spirit within us. So I'm going to beg you over the next few weeks, don't settle for ministry that comes just from the work of our own hands. Don't settle for half a loaf. Take the Holy Spirit and everything that the Holy Spirit promises. Folks, we need to pray about this. Let's pray that God will bless us with his Holy Spirit, that we can be filled by it, that we can do his kingdom work, and that in that process, God will be glorified. Amen.